Hey, welcome to Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, here with chairman of the board, Jacob.
Woo!
I am Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Dr. Tim Slecker. He's out sick today. He already phoned and dialed in. Let us know, hey man, can't be there today, guys, for class and session, but that's okay. He's got an excused absence. Jacob, we are going to dive into it today. How are you doing, my guy?
I'm excited, Johnny. It's been a while since we did one of these where it was just you and me, I think. Because the last time Tim couldn't be here, we had a guest.
Yeah, so exactly.
It's that rare, you know, Jacob-Johnny connection the folks yes. love so much.
It's the JJ combo, man.
And yeah.
It's a good one. It's a good one. Well, you know, it's also the beginning of the school year. I think it's safe to say most students are returning to their classrooms, if not this very week, for sure, after the holiday, this upcoming Monday, mm-hmm. right? By next Wednesday, I think it's safe to say that a majority of the students in this country going to school in a classroom will be in a classroom next week. So it's going to be officially the mark of fall by next week. But this is, you know, still a little bit of summer for some of you listeners out there. Pencil busters, you're hanging on to those last days. And if you're a teacher, likely you're already in your classroom getting all set up and geared up for the beginning of the school year. Jacob, we've been going head to head, not you and I, but Tim and I going head to head, and you've been in the middle of it. So it's going to be fun to have you chime in a little today, but we've been going head to head on, you know, AI. Oh my gosh. Technology. Is it good? Is it bad? And I think we've had some great conversations around, you know, resisting that urge or that impulse to call something good or bad,
right? Yeah.
Because there are a lot of like really important uses that technological advances, especially related to education, apply to teaching and learning, to what's happening in our classrooms. But we're in one of those moments where everybody's like, oh my God, AI, it's everywhere. It's taking over. Pretty soon, artificial intelligence will be the next stage of human evolution. And robots will be doing everything. No more teachers.
I thought Tim wasn't here today. I feel like I'm hearing a lot of Tim points
right
now. Well,
I'm trying to represent the Church of AI, you know. Yeah. And Tim's a regular parishioner in that, dare I say, cult of technology as our
parishioner.
Savior.
I think he's up to like bishop or something by now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's head of the diocese.
Yeah, there you go.
But we're kind of teasing him because he's not here. But that's the idea here is like, you know, it's to resist that impulse that it's good or bad, but to kind of sit with the, what does it bring? What's the value that it adds? And what kind of ways, especially for us educated educators and you listeners out there too, you're part of that. Like the kinds of ways that we're thinking about, you know, cultivating or facilitating the best possible experience for our learners, whether that's in our districts, if you're, you know, superintendent's office downtown, I like to call it like the folks downtown, right? Whether you're, you know, a principal or a teacher or a parent or a student, you're not really probably having many conversations about school that don't sooner or later get to the hot topic of artificial intelligence or the role technology is playing in our classrooms. And I would say, Jacob, the debate is not new. I remember when I used to call it, the laptops are coming, the laptops are coming.
Yeah.
You know, when they would say, guess what we got you this year? A cart of laptops, or, you know, a set of iPads, or I'm going to date myself here. Some of our, you know, our younger listeners, and I put younger in that sarcastic tone, we'll remember this. I also had a year where the district gifted my classroom with a set of Blackberries.
Whoa.
We were going to use these Palm Pilots and Blackberries to do all kinds of exciting stuff. There was a technology graveyard in our school. A lot of stuff that both teachers and kids were like, I'm not really quite sure what we do with this. And we give it a try, give it a go, and nothing really quite sticks. But it used to be like the silver bullet. Like once everybody had a device, like a laptop or a tablet at their, you know, use at their desk, the learning would increase.
Yeah.
And, you know, in some context, that was true. And in other contexts, that didn't necessarily pan out. And so I feel like we're there again with AI. But Jacob, you sent me a really cool article this week. And I'm going to have you just kind of just kind of introduce the main point of the article, because I was like, oh, we're talking about this, because it happens to land right in the midst of a really great conversation I'm having with teachers right now, this week, about, you know, what are they doing in their classroom to include AI? And also with that AI, obviously kind of like some of the hard technologies like laptops or phones and things that students bring with them to class. But what else are they doing also to kind of get engaged learning happening? So this kind of fits right into that. Jacob, I won't tease it any longer. Give our listeners, you know, the gist of this article you sent over to me. And I said, we're talking about it in class and session.
Yeah, Johnny. So this article I found, it's from Education Week by Sarah Schwartz. And the headline here is Why One Teacher Told Students to Put Their Chromebooks Away for Good. And Boom. The gist of the article is high school chemistry teacher Marcy Samayoa decided to ditch Chromebooks in her classroom. Not completely. She said that basically for things where you require the Chromebook for labs or researching online, doing things that specifically you need the internet and the Chromebooks for, doing that still, but getting rid of it in other contexts and going back to paper and pencil. And that's basically what the article is about. I found that very interesting. And apparently you agreed with me, so we're going to be talking about it today.
Well, I love it, Jacob, because actually, you know, in the spirit of, hey, let's not fall on one side or another. I made a joke in a recent episode. I say only Siths speak in absolutes. And I tend to sometimes go to the dark side on this show.
Absolutely.
And I'm an absolute. And I'm like, no AI, no AI. But that's not true. I'm actually utilizing AI in some capacity in my classroom as well. And I haven't made this full move, but I have some peers, some really great educators I look up to. And when we talk shop, you know, we don't actually have a water cooler, but I say, hey, let's, you know, chat like we're at the water cooler or in the teacher lunchroom and kind of talk about how we're thinking about approaching learning in our classrooms this year. And I will say there's like a renewed, almost nostalgia. You know, what was cool in the 90s seems to be hip with the young people these days again now anyways. So we're kind of leaning into that and building in more time in our classrooms for some of those throwback learning moments. That's what I'm calling them, hoping my students get a kick out of that. But throwback learning moments, just to kind of build in, you know, opportunities to say write, to construct a sentence, to do some free writing, to do some, even though my math friend, you know, she's teaching a pre-calculus class and got together with another buddy of mine. We taught math for years and we were talking about, okay, let's utilize the technology, but let's also make space for pencil and paper. Because sometimes understanding is a tactile thing for some learners.
Yeah.
And it's engaging and like, we might hate it. You know, I'm definitely not in the club of, hey, let's give them 100 problems to do at their seats and make them turn them in or, you know, write a 15-page paper by hand. But certain things like construct a thesis statement or, you know, solve a problem that I put on the board, a math problem. And then if you feel like you got an idea, come up with a math problem for a peer to solve. And we're just going to be in throwback mode. We're just going to be in a mode of like pencils, papers, maybe a calculator if you got one. I like to call them cackalacks, like got your cackalacks and, you know, ready to go, pull them out, get punching. But like low-tech throwback 90s learning. And then, like you said, our teacher in the article, she didn't banish the Chromebooks to the technology graveyard, right? They're not packed away for good. But they're put away so we're not on them for everything. I think this is wonderful, Jacob, for a number of reasons, because, you know, some of the myths are if the technology is out, they're going to be using it for other things. And I think that's not true if there's a clear purpose for what we're using the technology for. You talked about in the article, the chemistry teacher, she had mentioned, hey, if we're doing a particular lab, they're filling out their lab report, you know, or they're utilizing some kind of research prompt. You know, they're engaged with the technology with a direct objective. I would say almost always when I have a really clear use for the technology in class, it's being utilized that way. Mm-hmm. It's those times where it's not quite clear what the learning objective is, engaging with the technology, that it being out, I think can be a distraction. And so let's maximize our engagement and have times for technology and times for, like I'm calling it, throwback learning this semester. So
you're going to have to slap a trademark on that soon, because you've come up with a phrase. I think you could really capitalize on this.
But, yeah. And I want to say, like, Jacob, it's not being a Luddite, right? Like sometimes you tease me and I think it's worthy. Like I'll say, like, I don't know, Jacob, if the environment can sustain all the usage of this technology, you know, cooling off these supercomputers. Yeah. And I start to sound like a Luddite, as though I'm like sitting at home with my typewriter or some way, you know, like I'm faxing Jacob my script for the show. You know, I'm utilizing computers, technology, search engines. And at times even, yes, I admit, I'm utilizing artificial intelligence to a varying degree. Like if my counterpart here, Tim, my colleague, I shouldn't call him my counterpart. He's not my adversary. He's my buddy. But if he was here today, he'd be like, come on, Johnny, you're telling me I can't do, you know, X, Y, and Z on my AI. You know, I can't have my Tim clone, you know, answering my students' questions after hours.
He should have
been
here today, the Tim clone.
Tim clone could have came in. But, you know, like I think Tim embodies a really good balance of these things. It's a little far more leaning towards utilizing the technologies, but I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. As I don't, Jacob, think it's a bad thing for students to do some throwback learning. It's like some old school ways of saying, hey, you know, back in the day, here's how we did this. And there was some value to it, right? There was some value to doing it, some tactile, some motor skill stuff, you know, just some movement that can engage learners in a little bit of a different way than just typing the keys, and maybe slightly less distracting way. Now, Jacob, I'll also throw on there, if all I'm doing is pencil and paper, like I'm stuck in throwback mode, then I'm a dinosaur, man.
Yeah.
Then I'm not an engaging teacher, right? My students are like, hey, man, that old head doesn't get it. So I think it's really important that, you know, we take the best of these worlds and go with it. But I think you're onto something, Jacob. I'm gonna look that up today or tonight and maybe write a little piece we could put on a blog. Throwback learning, dare we? Bust some pencils in class?
That's part of the article too, Johnny, because the teacher, she talks about how having the Chromebooks as an ever-present part of the classroom leads to a lot of anxiety for her about, well, are they looking at Netflix? Are they goofing off with the Chromebooks? You know, what's going on? And I think you hit on it there. It's when you're bringing the Chromebooks out for a purpose and you're using the technology for a specific thing, then they're less likely to be abusing it. They're more likely to use the tool for the way it's supposed to be used because they have a reason to do it. And I think that makes perfect sense. And just like the Luddite who's not going to have any computer in his room, I think that having, you know, ever-present technology or using AI for everything or using the computers for everything, that's also not really the right way to do it. I like to see where we're using technology in a way that's fit for purpose and we're introducing it in ways where it can give us an advantage over the old way and not getting rid of the old way where that has an advantage over the newfangled technology. There's nuance to it, and that's exactly where we led this off. It's not good. It's not bad. There's different spots for it to be. I'm right there with you on that, Johnny.
Yeah, man. And I'm excited about it too, because it gives me, I always like to have some kind of theme. Mm-hmm. I like to have a segment of, you know, we know a lot in learning sciences. We've learned quite a bit about how people learn, right? The HPL framework. It's actually nice to reference. It's a whole kind of like psychologists and neurologists all got together and really studied learning, whether that's in schools, outside of schools, at your job as an adult, or in your social groups, like kids even at the playground, learning rules of a game or engaging in anything where we're taking in information, we're processing it, and we're putting it to use. And then we really study closely, like the stuff that stays with us. It's not just like short term, like memorize it for this test that's coming up on Friday. Like here's 25 vocabulary words, study them this week and memorize them for Friday only. There's some value for some of that, but we really want to look at like long-term skill building. Like how do the things that you're learning apply to doing? And can you do them, like practice them, so that they stick with us in a way where we carry them on to either the next level or into life? So that's sort of like the ultimate goal, right? Is that sustained knowledge, that it gets kind of filed away in a part of our brain where we can access it and use it. And we feel fairly competent and confident in using that. So that's kind of the goal that teachers are after here. And I think it's exciting to remember that things we've learned is, especially if you're a teacher prepping for like a 50-minute class period, like middle school, high school, and especially college, you have this like these segments of learning. Or if you're an elementary teacher and you have sort of the subjects parsed out for the day, that nobody at any age has an extremely long attention span. And that's not new. I mean, it's argued that like technology has interfered with this, and we're in this, you know, immediacy generation where like because of like Amazon and Netflix and internets and all these things that like we want it right away. We want to be engaged, or like the TikTok syndrome. Like if it's not, you know, 15 seconds or less, students aren't paying attention, which isn't true. But what we do know by and large is that much more than 12 minutes and you've lost just about everybody. And that's all levels of learners. Like there's some of us who are primarily processing information through auditory learning. Like we are primary listeners. I'm not one of those, Jacob, I'll tell you that. But they tend to have like an affinity for a little bit of a longer stretch, say like a lecture might stick with them. But even a really good lecture, if you break it up into like 8 to 10 minute segments where you clearly transition from those, you can go an hour, but you've got a really clear marker at like the 8 minute mark. Like, hey, here's what we just talked about. Check for a little understanding, transition, build on it, and move to the next one. There is ability to sustain attention longer. But Jacob, I love to think about my class periods teaching and think about that I have, you know, if it's an hour, I have about 4 segments. Mm-hmm. And one of those segments or 2 of those segments, or maybe on any given day, 3 of them may be learning engaged through technology. Might not be all 4 every day, just like I'm not just going to sit or stand in my classroom and present information for a class period straight through. You're going to lose your students. They're going to become unengaged, even if they're being compliant. Everyone out there listening remembers just sitting in class doing what students are supposed to do, pretending like you're listening, mm-hmm. you know, take notes. Even if you're really good and you're writing everything down, after about 8 minutes here or there, you drift a bit.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that, to add in a new segment into my classroom, you know, throwback retro learning, and just call it like that, like a little bit of like sit and get, a little bit of, you know, take some notes, reflect in your notebook.
Well, I've got a question, Johnny. Can you give us an example of one of your awesome patented throwback learning activities that you like to bring out?
Well, remember you asked me this a couple weeks ago about introduction activity, and I talked about first day of class. We draw a picture of the, you know, place that's influenced us as who we are today as educators. And, you know, we talk about that at our tables. We share them. We kind of put them up on the wall, helps decorate our room a little bit, because we also mentioned on the show that college classrooms can sometimes be a little bit, I think you used the term, Jacob, what did you say? Like sanitized? Or
Yeah.
Like kind of like going, even going into the doctor's office, there's posters about health things and stuff up on the wall. But some of our classrooms, they're just bare. And that's never really engaging in terms of like an environment that sparks inquiry, that, you know, fosters imagination and creativity and collaboration. So we get some pictures up, but we do that with crayons, pencils, colored pencils, markers, paper. Sometimes, and this is what I'm going to add, and I haven't done a lot of this in many years, honestly. I'm even throwing back some of my teaching, because so many students are comfortable on their laptops or on their iPads, say taking notes and doing those things. I like that form, but there's going to be some structured, like retro moments, throwback moments. Like, hey, we just watched a video together, because we always watch current event stuff or some kind of learning video as a short segment of our class period related to the content. Maybe it will be, because social studies methods class, it may be, maybe say that day we watched How a Bill Becomes a Law, right? In Schoolhouse Rock.
Classic.
And so, yeah, classic, right? So after that little video segment, I might say, hey, close the laptops, right? You listened to it, you watched it, we experienced it together, you know, talk about where it relates to the three content areas of social studies and write down a few sentences. And then with technology away, talk to each other at the table, right? And then I'll probably transition out of that 10, 15 minutes of share and reflect to a shared Google Doc where now we're back on the technologies. You could still be in your notebook. If your learning space is throwback style, then you're still in your notebook. But a lot of students, very, very honestly, Jacob, do amazing note-taking in things like Google Docs or in shared drives and things like that. So we'll get in there and we'll do some classroom notes as well as I'll kind of have a hybrid, right? I'll take down what people share and write it on the board and we'll start to construct a visual, which I'll then utilize technology, take a picture of and quickly upload it to our shared notebook, which is in a Google Drive on our, you know, learning management system. At my university, it happens to be a Canvas course shell. This is common lingo for people taking college courses. You know, it's either Blackboard or Canvas or some kind of management system. But Jacob, you know, none of that really utilizes AI or any of those things, but
not
I'm going
to
build in. Not exactly. But what I know, Jacob, is when I do say, okay, now, what else do we want to learn? There will be a layer of a prompt submitted. What prompts did you submit into ChatGPT or AI? What did AI offer and add to the conversation? How is it part of what we're doing as well? So it won't be like our go-to. So it's kind of like scaffolding. We worked from our own knowledges and our human interactions with one another, with our throwback technologies, pens, paper, pencils, all those things, talking to each other, listening, interacting, you know, screens closed, maybe your tablet, just put something over it for a minute if you have that. And then let's get back to that stuff because it is in many ways a tool that we utilize. And let's layer onto that, like ask AI. And that's a little segment that's gonna be in class this year too. It was last year, the students came up with it, but it's like ask AI. Right? Sort of like, you know, let's check and see what's a prompt and what did it bring to our conversation? What did it add to it? Did any information come up that's sus? That's a term the youth use.
As the kids say.
Yeah, the kids say, you know, any sus stuff come up, you know? So we're talking about our information, where we get it from, processing it, and how we'll utilize it. Because then I feel like there's choice in what we do. So that's kind of how I plan on using it. I have talked to teachers who are banishing it from their classroom. And I'm not even like hating on them. They're saying like, hey, if you think about it, you got five classes in a day, you know, in high school, maybe more. Or if you're in college, you have like three or four other classes. And a majority of us are engaging in AI. It's not the end of the world to have one class where you are kind of Ludditing it a bit.
Sure.
You're just, as long as it's engaging and meaningful and not just a boring class, right? But I have talked to some teachers who have said, hey, I'm not even assigning these essays anymore or these long papers. I'm in essence just saying, hey, you know, I'll have blue books in classroom and we'll write our responses and I'll collect them and I'll use them. And then I don't have to worry about, was it plagiarized or did they use AI? Because they just shared what they knew.
Johnny, because the thing about that I really appreciate is that it's an effort not to just, you know, focus on enforcement and stopping people from using AI and things like that. It's finding ways to have activities where you don't need the AI. You know, we're going to do this in person. We're going to do this in the classroom. And the notebook has a different quality to it, doing it in class than going home. And let's be honest, since about 1997, everyone's been looking stuff up for those essays at home, you know, so doing it in class, seeing what you know in the moment, how your brain functions, how you work on these problems in that situation. I think it tells a lot more than just sending it home with people anyway in the first place. So I like that AI gets us asking these questions about what should we have been doing in, you know, in the first place this whole time? What could we have fixed the whole time? And how can we adapt our processes to deal with the technology, to adapt it, to sometimes shun it if it's doing the wrong thing in this spot or that? I think there's going to be a lot of innovation here, Johnny, for people like you and Tim, especially in this education leadership role you've got.
Yeah, man, I love it. And the other thing I like about it too, Jacob, is I think when you learn how it works and you see the power of, say, you know, AI generated tools and things like that helps us. Like when you have to write a paragraph and you have to kind of dig around and talk to some people about something for a few minutes, it gives you the appreciation for what that technology is bringing to us. You know, when I was a student research, you know, we had to go to a library and they give these little pencils if you didn't have a pencil and to look something up in the library. You had to kind of go to the card catalog and the Dewey Decimal System and, you know, flip through it and then go find it in the library and look around in that section and locate things that way. And then really quickly, in the time I was a student, that transitioned to, you mean I could look this up on search engines or I could, you know, use large database searches and really quickly like have PDFs emailed to me of a lot of these things. Like, you know, it didn't mean I was cheating. It was a different experience, but same task. It took a fraction of the time. I would talk to people who say, oh, well, lucky you, you're doing your dissertation and your research in, you know, 2013. You know, imagine me having to have done that in, you know, 1992. We had to have all these note cards and all these handwritten notes, and we had to compile. I was like, I get it. We're essentially doing the same thing with different technologies and also saving some time. So I love like learning the, like having, giving students the opportunity to learn how it works, right? To do it both ways a few times as part of their education, so that as they're utilizing these powerful tools, say in their career or in their other courses or as part of their learning, they understand, and maybe now I sound like a real old timer, they appreciate it. They really learn to appreciate it, right? But I say that jokingly, but I mean it. Like you have a deeper appreciation, I think, when you understand what a tool is bringing to the work you're doing and how it's doing it and what it's in place of, right? And so I think this balance that like the article you shared that this chemistry teacher has introduced into her classroom, and that so many teachers out there probably listening are finding that balance. Even if you're the teacher who's like, it's pens and paper only in my class, you know, you're still bringing some value to that. It's not gone away. How we learn in general hasn't radically changed to only being glued to a device. I don't think we'll ever be there. I think the scare is out there like, oh no, all that we're going to do in school now is be on computers. I don't think that works for a majority of people, but we're also not going to throw the tool away and completely reject it. And so I like this balance. I think it's a good one. Jacob, we've belabored the topic a bit. We'll get to it later this week, I'm sure, more. I'm sure Tim's going to have a lot to add on to it. But man, this has been a great class with you. And now it's time for your moment of zen. I had always insisted that a good education was a synthesis of book learning and involvement in social action, that each enriched the other. I wanted my students to know that the accumulation of knowledge, while fascinating in itself, is not sufficient as long as so many people in the world have no opportunity to experience that fascination. Hey, old listener, thanks for tuning in to Busted Pencils Class In Session. And you can always get great podcasts just like this one. You just got to go over and search Busted Pencils on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And of course, you can always find us on the Civic Media website or on our website, bustedpencils.com. Hey, and don't forget, you can find us throughout the week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with homerooms, class in sessions, and lots of fun to wrap up the work week on Fridays with Jacob Producer's Choice. And listen up, pencil busters. Every Saturday, you can catch Busted Pencils at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for 1 hour of your favorite blue collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busted pencils.